The following podcast episode is recommended for a mature audience. It may contain coarse language and the topics discussed might be inappropriate for people under 15 years of age. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi everyone, welcome back to XSY Podcast. This is part two of our childhood television shows. I'm Matthew and I'm Gen Y.
I'm Audrey and I'm Gen X. And yeah, this is part two of me rabbiting on and on and on about what I used to watch when I was a kid, because I'm older than Matthew, so I'm a lot more nostalgic about the shows we used to watch. So it blew into a part two. Well, that's kind of what happened with a lot of TV shows from my generation. They get someone nostalgic about it and they get rebooted. Whereas someone like, you know, I got to admire someone like David Hasselhoff, who managed to revive his career with Baywatch, you know, from Knight Rider. He thought Knight Rider would have been it, you know, and then he was back again and then he's a singer in Germany and all this sort of stuff. But
isn't he like more of a like cameo guy now?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, he was in that movie. Need to work.
He was in that movie. Yeah. Well, he was in that movie Hop with Russell Brand as the rabbit, the drumming rabbit.
Oh, yep.
And then David Hasselhoff goes, "You're going live in 2 seconds or something," and it's like, I think he was like cameoing as himself on like dancing. Oh no, Show's Got Talent or something like that.
Do you know? Just as a pet peeve, I have a pet peeve about those movies. Not that movie in particular, but there's this movie called Sing. And it had all these singing animals, right? They had a pig and, you know, and it had all these actors in it, right? And they were in a singing competition like an idol. I don't know. I've never actually watched the whole movie. And the reason I had an issue with Sing is because they had a koala, right? He was like the host, right?
Yeah.
And they had Matthew McConaughey voice the koala. Like, a koala is such an Australian animal. Why did they get him to voice it?
Oh, man. I'm going to go climb a tree.
Don't you think that's wrong?
That's horrible,
I thought they could have at least, sure enough, keep him in it, but don't make him a koala or cast someone Australian as a koala. A koala should not have an American accent. It's just
It'd be like wrong. If you got an eagle or something and you gave it an Australian accent.
Yeah, they could have
accent,
made him anything. Yeah. Why cast him as the koala? I thought they made a big mistake there. They kind of like, you know.
Have you seen that animated movie that came out a few years ago with, I can't remember the name of it, but it's got like Jack Frost in it and it's got
Nightmare Before Christmas or something.
No. It's an animated one. It's got the Easter Bunny in it. It's got Santa.
Oh, yeah. It's a stop motion one.
Sandman guy. No, it's like an animated DreamWorks thing, I think.
Oh, no. I
can't remember the name of it. But in it, they've got like they've got sort of like, you know, it's an Easter Bunny who's got powers and stuff and he has boomerangs and he lives like on Easter Island and stuff. We've got Hugh Jackman as the Australian actor.
He's like,
Mike, come on, we're gonna go off to our down under, you know. Like really Aussie and stuff. And you know, you've got some really massive, heavy hitting Hollywood talents now, like Chris Hemsworth and stuff. That you don't need to use someone like Matthew McConaughey.
That's right, and who can sing as well.
Yeah, exactly. So
yeah.
Oh, it's called Rise of the Guardians.
I've heard it came out 2012.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. So, you know, you don't need to, you don't need to use Matthew McConaughey. I always say Matthew Mahogany. Yeah, it's so much easier.
Is it because his acting is wooden?
Well, have you noticed that, like, his little gimmick?
He's actually an okay actor. Yeah,
his little gimmick from Magic Mike has become like really well known.
I haven't watched
now.
It. There's a confession. I haven't watched Magic Mike.
Oh, he does this thing like when he's like introducing him and he's like,
all right.
No,
and then ever since then,
from...
he's been doing it every single movie.
No. He said that in his first movie. He said that in this movie called Dazed and Confused. He started that from that movie.
So it's kind of like Owen Wilson's, wow.
Yeah, it's kind of like his catchphrase. That's Matthew McConaughey's catchphrase.
I'm waiting for the new Shanghai Dawn movie to like come out with Jackie Chan and Owen Wilson, and then, you know, Owen Wilson rocks up in China. Wow, look at the Forbidden City. Wow.
You know, that's probably another thing that apart from, you know, because I'm, you know, I grew up in Generation X land. We sort of got some leftovers from the 60s, some shows, you know, in that transition period. I remember I used to watch things like I Dream of Jeannie.
And, oh, I remember that show. I've seen that.
Yeah, and MASH. MASH yeah. was on.
I knew you were going to say MASH. I knew you were going to say MASH.
You know, MASH went on forever, you know.
Isn't it going for like 40 years or something?
I know. It just went on and on and on and on. And then they had I remember, though, I think Radar, he was one of the – was it Radar? One of the characters I remember I really liked, and he died, and I was so sad. I think it was Radar.
I confess I've never seen it. I've walked past the TV when it was on, but I know – it's about army guys, isn't it?
Yeah. No, it's set in the Korean War. It's about, like, this sort of medical unit, American medical unit. And, and it just goes on for very, very many years. But – what was I going to say? And Get Smart. I was going to say Get Smart because Get Smart was pretty cool. It was kind
I've seen the remake of that.
Yeah, well, the original was very funny. It had this – it was actually – do you know Mel Brooks? Have you heard of him?
Yes.
He's a filmmaker. And
I love Mel Brooks. He made Spaceballs.
Well, Get Smart was one of the things he wrote for, you know. So it's got Mel Brooks's humor in Get Smart.
Isn't he like 90 or something now? He's
really old. Yeah, I know. But he's been writing for centuries.
I've seen a few of his things. I think he worked with Gene – what's his name? Gene – the guy who was in the first Willy Wonka, Gene Newman or
– Wilder.
Gene Wilder.
He did
a Frankenstein one.
Yeah, what was that called? Young Frankenstein.
Yeah, Young Frankenstein. I remember getting like a – one of those things was like 3-in-1 movies and it was like $8 or something. And I'm like, what's this crap? And it was funny as.
Yeah, it's really funny. I used to love Mel Brooks.
And Gene Wilder was great too.
Yeah, he did with Mel Brooks, he did Young Frankenstein. He did Blazing Saddles and he did, isn't that terrible? We just mentioned it. I can't remember because Blazing Saddles was probably my favorite, you know, because it's Spaceballs. Quite funny. No, Gene Wilder wasn't in Spaceballs. Oh, no, it's called The Producers. It was called The Producers.
Okay.
And, you know, The Producers spun off into a musical that did really well. Mm. It also had Matthew Broderick in it. But anyway, so
someone's a fan of Matthew Broderick.
No, he's just he's a really iconic 80s actor. You know,
Has he done anything since those days, though? Because I remember there was an Inspector Gadget 2 and then I haven't seen anything after that.
I just can't believe you know him from Inspector Gadget. That's pretty sad.
That guy scares me as well, the bad guy in that with a clawed hand.
Oh, Dr. Claw. Yeah, you should watch the... So
that frightened me.
You've made me miss my original point, which was about... it was about Get Smart. Okay, so Get Smart... the original series that Mel Brooks wrote, there was a actor in it called Don Adams and he was who Matthew Broderick played and he had this really like, you know, he was really funny. He was really good as Don. Now, he was really good as Agent 86, right? That was his name, I think, Agent 86. And he was just really good at that character. And then in the 80s, they made a cartoon called Inspector Gadget and Don Adams, the guy who voiced Get Smart, you know, whenever they made it in the 60s, he did the voice of Inspector Gadget, you know. So if you watch early Inspector Gadget episodes before they changed before Don Adams died, you'll hear that, you know, it was a better cartoon, you know, because he's got that, you know, he's just got that comic sensibility from doing Get Smart and all those shows. So it was quite, I don't know, it was very... No, I just feel like the kids shows had a level of sophistication that don't have now. And humor. And maybe just the programs, some of them, you know, they were clever, you know, they just weren't really going for the obvious joke. And if you should just look up, okay, this is what I want you to look up on YouTube, look up Get Smart with Don Adams, you know, as as Agent 86, and you'll see how funny it is. They used to have things like the Cone of Silence, and they, you know, it's just funny.
You can look this up, the audience too, and we'll see what the actual look at what it looks like, because I'm picturing something weird.
no, but you have to remember that back then, you know, Mel Brooks was writing for Get Smart, so it was really funny. You know, it's full of puns and everything. And
his humor is very different to today's humor, though. You know, today's humor is very. I don't know. It's just today's humor is very always feels very forced. It's like the jokes are very like forced, and they're repetitive, and then they're not original.
Yeah, they're just not that clever. They don't really think about too much. They just want to go for it. It's like parody movies, you know. I think Flying High and all that were really good. And then they made so many, like, you know, Scary Movie 1, 2. You know what I mean? They just became really silly. But the Flying High movies are really clever, you know, because if you watch those old disaster movies, they're very, you know, similar, and they'd have funny jokes in it. Like there was, you know, did you ever watch a Flying High movie? There's this bit where he goes, surely we're not going to, you know, crash in 10 seconds. And he goes, no, we're not going to crash in 10 seconds and stop calling me Shirley, you know. Like it just had little jokes like that all the time. And there's another, if you ever want to watch a funny movie from those people, there's a movie called Top Secret. Have you ever heard of that?
No.
And it's got Val Kilmer when he was at his most hot, right? I think it was Val Kilmer's first film, and you'll watch it, and he, you know, Val Kilmer sings in it, and he looks so young, and it's really funny movie. You'll love it. But sorry, back to my influence. So obviously, if I grew up watching Mel, you know, I liked Mel Brooks movies, and I used to like Steve Martin. I don't know whether. We've gone to movies instead of TV.
I've seen a few of his movies. I've seen The Three Amigos and what's that one where he ends up moving in with was it Whoopi Goldberg or something?
Lily Tomlin.
That's
a really good one. It's called All of Me. Is that the one you're thinking?
Yeah, I think so. And he's like
they're sharing a body.
Yeah, it might be. Yeah, yeah.
Because his soul goes into her.
And they're like 80s movies too, so I have seen a few.
Yeah, I love All of Me. That's one of my favorite Steve Martin.
I still don't understand how he got white hair at like 28 though. Like, I don't know what happened there.
And he was in. He had this show called. He had a movie called The Man with Two Brains and The Jerk. I used to love Steve Martin and Mel Brooks. They were like my.
I don't think Steve Martin is an actor anymore. I think he's a primarily a musician.
He still does some acts. He does it with Martin Short. I don't know. I'd love to go see them perform live.
But I think he's more like comedy and sort of music now rather than, you know, film acting.
He doesn't need to, does he? He doesn't really need to.
He's probably rich.
He's so rich. And I know he's a real philanthropist, like he likes art. Mm. So, you know, I think he owns a lot of really expensive art. But
I don't know if that counts as philanthropy though.
Well, he must, but he might. I think he might also, you know,
donate the money to.
The money to art institutions or anything.
Did you ever watch Blackadder?
Yeah, I love Blackadder.
I love Blackadder. Have you seen the one where? Have you seen that little? Oh, I can't remember the episode. My friend was showing me, and I'm like, "What is this crappy show?" You know, the color looks like it's from the 70s, and then I started watching. I'm like, "This is really good." There's a scene where like this officer comes in and he's like, "Oh, you know, can I?" I want sugar in my coffee or something. And then, like, obviously it's like a war camp, so they have no sugar. So he ends up using dandruff or something. And then officer's like, oh, this is beautiful. Like, and you're laughing your head off because you're like.
Baldrick was always the one who was the sort of the doing all these things, wasn't he?
Yeah. And Rowan Atkinson's fantastic actor too, you know. He's got Mr. Bean and stuff, and those things crack you up. Like,
it's also the writing, though. Blackadder was very well written. Mm. Apart from, and you look at the actors who've come from Blackadder, like Stephen Fry was in it, and Hugh Laurie. Look how huge Hugh Laurie became. You know,
The guy from House.
Yeah, he was in Blackadder, and he always played these really annoying characters. Like, oh, they're really pompous. It's quite funny. Like, you can like, and I think they used to have a show called Hugh and Laurie, Stephen Fry and Hugh Laurie. So there was a lot of those comedy duo ones. When I was a kid, they used to have this thing called the Two Ronnies, and you know, they would do little skits. You know, there were a lot of skit shows actually for comedy when I was a kid. So I guess, you know, I'm used to that sort of humor that's been well written and sort of, you know, not just, I know they set up jokes and things. It's not just punchline, punchline, punchline all the time. And I remember growing up, I never really thought Monty Python was very funny.
Oh, I love Monty Python.
I liked The Life of Brian. I've always and I used to like The Holy Grail. That was very good. I used to always
love
those two movies. And I didn't realize there were skit movies. Like I would, except The Life of Brian was a proper story, but the with jokes. But the I remember The Holy Grail, how it just ended, you know, and they just have this big fight. And I thought, oh, that's disappointing. Like, you know, because when you're a kid, you like completion when you watch, especially a movie, you expect it. So when that didn't happen, I always wondered when the sequel was coming out to The Holy Grail. And like, can't just end like this, you know?
I always thought the funniest shows were the Looney Tunes ones too.
Yeah, the old, you know, Looney like, Tunes cartoons were
Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck and
the Bugs Martian Bunny was guy. Always in drag.
Well, my favorite, I do. My favorite one is my favorite ones to watch were Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote.
Oh no, that was so frustrating.
That was so good. Like, and they're making a movie about him too.
I think they're making
a movie called Wile E. Coyote.
No.
And then that crossovers too or something, like Bugs Bunny came along and Wile E. Coyote was trying to get him, and you know, like it was so funny because it was stupid. Well, not stupid, but it was so funny because it was silly in a way. Like, you know, you'd have Wile E. Coyote run after him or something, and he'd be standing in midair for 3 seconds before he realizes I'm falling now, you know.
And there's always a lot of TNT everywhere. And like he's always hiding TNT everywhere, and always
His contraptions were amazing. Yeah. Like even though he never really caught Roadrunner, you can't deny his like mechanical engineering abilities, because he'd have like the contraptions that he'd make. He'd make a flight suit, and then he'd make this like carefully built, you know, meticulously built catapult or something that would shoot him up. And then, you know, there was one where he put like a strap across the road or something, and then he put another one on the other side so that when Roadrunner ran through, he'd jump in the air or something. Wile E. Coyote had to do like six or seven bounces before I'd try and grab him, and like everything was meticulously planned out. Roadrunner always seemed to have that luck, you know. And then I think it's also one of those ones where like even if he did catch him, what would he do? You know, like you can't. You know,
you knew it was never going to happen.
Yeah,
but that was the frustrating part of that. I used to go, oh, not this again. I used to love watching it, but every time it was Roadrunner, I used to go, oh, no, I can't watch him.
It was so funny. Frustrating. You'd be like, what's he going to do this time? You know, when is he going to catch him, you know?
No,
and you watch like 100 episodes straight. Like, he's got to get him eventually.
No, I preferred Bugs Bunny because I always thought that was more interesting. I loved Elmer Fudd, you know?
And I'm going wabbit hunting.
Yeah, wabbit. But that was, I prefer Fudd to Bugs Bunny. I even prefer Sylvester and Tweety Roadrunner was my least favorite.
You know what's
They were really good though, those cartoons.
I loved Tom and Jerry.
No, I think
Tom and Jerry was fantastic.
You know why to me those old Warner Brothers ones were so good? Because the guy who did the voices, his name was Mel Blanc. He's such a good voice artist, you know what I mean? And I don't know, just the animation was just so fresh, you know what I mean? It was just so crazy, you know? It was so different to anything else on television, you know, like. I used to love animation, and I still do in a way, but it's not the same.
I feel like it's too crisp now.
Yeah, when you look at it. Too computer generated. Yeah, it doesn't have any soul.
Yeah, like you got Tom and Jerry, and I can still watch the '90s ones and have fun with it. But then you've got one like especially that Blinky Bill one. Like his facial features are too anthropomorphized. You know, like he's got like you know, dimples and all that kind of stuff. Like he doesn't need that. He's a bloody animal.
Do you know what my problem is? The problem with those cartoons now isn't that they look too polished. It's probably the story, because the story and the characters aren't engaging enough. You notice all the defects.
It definitely looks different.
Look at a Pixar movie, okay? For example, Pixar is like the epitome of polished now. You know, I remember when Toy Story came out, it was so, you know, they looked like toys. You know, the only things that looked dodgy were the people. But I remember how I was amazed how well they animated all the toys. You know, it was so believable. And then the voices they gave the toys were so spot on. You know what I mean? Like, you can now, you can't imagine seeing, you know, those little potato heads not talking with that voice. You know? And you know, they're so iconic now, all those voices to those toys, right? And just the way they told the story and the characters. So you got so absorbed in the world they created, you didn't notice how crappy the humans looked or whatever, you know, all the things that were wrong with it. But when you get an animation or any story, and if they can't hold up the story or the characters, then you start picking it apart. You know, that animation looks crap or whatever. So I think if you want to look at animation that's, you know, that survives that, you know, sort of computerized process, you do have to look at Pixar, because their stories and their characters are very strong, you know, they're so unique. Yeah.
I think also if you watch it as a kid, though, you get that nostalgic thing. So it's like if I watched Blinky Bill now, I'd probably love it. But, like, now that I watch it, I can see all the defects. Whereas, like, if I watch old cartoons, I'm like, I love this show, you know. Oh, the animation sucks, but how good is it, you know? Like, it feels like you're walking down memory lane.
You know what other one I used to love? I used to love watching Snoopy, because I used to read a lot of Peanuts comics, and I used to love when they used to, you know, because they used to have these Snoopy movies, you know, Charlie Brown movies. And you know, because the characters, they're so sort of melancholy, you know, they're kind of like little adults, you know, they talk about, you know, there's a psychiatric booth and all this sort of stuff. And I just used to love, even though the backgrounds were really simple, you know, and the animation was really simple, I just love how they brought Peanuts to life, you know, the characters. And then recently, I think Apple TV, they made a Snoopy series, right? And it is pretty, they've used the same sort of animation from that generation, so it's really easy to watch for me. But the only thing is the problem is they've concentrated only on Snoopy.
Oh, and yeah.
Part of the appeal of that was seeing all the other kids. I used to love all the other kids. Snoopy was only a minor character in the old series, but now Snoopy's the star. I mean, my kids love it because Snoopy is the most entertaining character, but
yeah,
I don't know, watching episode after episode of just Snoopy is a bit boring, you know. You're
just like, oh my god, how do you watch this?
I love Snoopy, but then it becomes a bit like Elmo, you know, you just get too much just repetitive character. You need the older ones to balance out the show, and you know, and you need Charlie Brown to be the loser. You know, that's part of the
just a quick last thought. Have you ever seen that show where it was like it was a live action show, and it was a guy like in his 40s or something, I think it was a British one, and he had like, he kind of looked after three dogs, like they were little, but they were clearly puppets, and there was like one that was, I think it was called Snoopy or something, and then there was a girl one and a nut, like a crazy one, and he used to tuck them into bed and you know, all that. And I remember it's so vague too, but I remember there being one where there was like a rabbit that they take on, and the rabbit eats all the grass and stuff, and he keeps blaming all of the main dogs and that all the main characters, and it ends up being the rabbit. Oh, the rabbit did it, you know.
Oh god, no, no, thank god.
Show from the 90s, like mid-90s or something. Me and my brother and sister, I think we watched that video on VHS about 500 times. I swear. Like, we watched it so many times. It'd be like, you know, raining in the holidays or something, and, you know, my mom would be like, oh, you know, we can't take you out to the park or something. Let's watch this show again. We're like, yay! You know, and then, you know, your parents can go and, you know, do the banking or something like that in peace, you know, like watch it. Read a book or something, and we're just like glued to the TV.
Oh, well, if anyone out there remembers that show, I have
please
no idea.
Tell me. Oh my god,
that was totally past my generation. I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's straight up came in the 90s.
If you liked Blackadder, the series that I sort of know, because Ben Elton wrote for Blackadder, and you know who he wrote with? He wrote with Richard Curtis. Do you know who Richard Curtis is?
No idea.
He directed, like, and he wrote, I think he directed it as well. He wrote and directed, or someone else might have directed. I think someone else directed it, but he wrote Four Weddings and a Funeral. Mm. He wrote Love Actually. Like, he's written a lot of huge
Love Actually
Hugh Grant movies. He wrote Notting Hill. Like, he's written a lot of big hits. Richard Curtis, he's a really famous British writer/filmmaker. He directed Love Actually. I should find his but he co-wrote Blackadder with Ben Elton, and he what was I gonna say? Ben Elton actually did a show that I used to watch before Blackadder. It was called The Young Ones. Have you heard of that?
No.
And it was, you'd probably like it. It was about these uni students, these four uni students, and they were really, there was, you know, they all had these really different personalities, and mm-hmm. And it was, you know, a series. It's, you just look it up on on YouTube. Try looking up The Young Ones, and I used to love that show, you know, and if you watch some episodes, if you actually sat and watched the whole series, you know, there's a lot of. Like, I don't know whether you know, do you know who French and Saunders are?
No.
Dawn French and Jennifer Saunders. Jennifer Saunders created Absolutely Fabulous, you know, AbFab. And she was in that. She was Patsy. I don't know. She wasn't Patsy. She was Adina. You don't remember that?
Oh, okay. No.
Anyway, she ended up getting married to Vivian from Young Ones, you know. So it's all very, you know. And then if you watch... There's an episode of The Young Ones, and they have this thing called University Challenge, and one of the students on the other team is Emma Thompson. So they were all kind of, I think they all went to some university together, so they all knew each other. You know, some, they were a bit like the Monty Python group where they all knew each other from university, their comic, you know, their sort of drama comedy days from university, and they all sort of cast each other in all these different shows, you know. So, you know, I think I watched the Graham Norton show, and they had Emma Thompson and Hugh Laurie on the same episode, mm-hmm. and they were saying how they used to be mates at university and they knew each other, you know. So it's kind of, yeah, it's not that big an industry, you know, when you see them, you know, oh, that's so-and-so again, you know.
I remembered what it is now. It's called Sooty.
Oh my God! I know Sooty.
The one I watched with him from the 70s, I think, with Matthew Corbett.
Yeah, and he's got a yellow bear. Why didn't you just say he had a yellow bear?
I thought it was a dog.
No, Sooty was a bear. No wonder I didn't know what you were talking about.
I love Sooty.
There was a brown dog, and the puppets were really amateur hour. You know,
they were terrible, but like
I could have controlled the Sooty power. The show was so engaging. I used to love all the props, wasn't it? The little beds. Yeah. And stuff.
The show was so engaging, though. I think, like, I don't know, me and my brother used to watch it too. My brother getting a sooty cake or something for one of his birthdays. Aww. Like, you know, it had all the three major characters on the top in little, like, you know, little creations that someone made for us. Like, yeah. You know, those shows, when you watch it now, if I watch it now, I'm nearly 30. If I watched it now, I'd be like, what the hell is this? Mm-hmm. You know, but you watch it those days and you don't have any experience watching great shows. So you watch those shows and then you watch it when you're older and you have that nostalgia and, mm-hmm. you know, it might not be the greatest show ever, but when you watch it again, you're like, you just feel like you're kind of, you know, going home, I guess, like you're going back to your roots.
I guess that's a good point to wrap it up. I was going to say, sorry, even though I interrupted your point.
No, it's okay.
I was just going to say maybe that's,
yeah.
You know, how many shows have you watched from your childhood again that have stood the test of time? You know what I mean? If I, like I said, I listened to the old, you know, did I tell this story earlier about how I was really stressed driving to work and I started listening to Bert and Ernie in the car? and I, you know, it was so because my cousin and I who grew up together, we used to have records back then, actual records that, you know, part of our collection.
Back then,
so I know how to actually use a record player and I'm not a DJ. And we used to have this, my cousin used to have this record called Bert's Hits because he used to love Bert, right?
Mm.
And so we used to listen to it a lot and we knew all the Bert and Ernie songs, you know. So when I listen to it now, because I wanted to introduce it to my kids, now, I knew all the words to all these songs. Like there's this song called The W Association, you know, it goes, so what is the letter we love? What sound are we extra fond of? It's not any trouble, you know, it's a W when you hear woo-woo-woo-woo. Like it's got really cool lyrics and really cool songs and really cool melodies. And I was listening to it after I just had this stressful day and it just calmed me right down and put me in this really you know, calm mood getting home. And I thought, oh, you know, sometimes you need a hit of nostalgia to get you through.
Just a hit of silliness or something.
Yeah. And it's kind of this sort of innocent time in your life. I was just going to say quickly that some of the shows I watched when I got older were Moonlighting. So that was one show I used to love. So have you heard of Moonlighting?
No.
It had Bruce Willis in it. So Bruce Willis, that was the first show that he became famous from. So I think before then he was like a bartender. And I don't know whether he wanted to be an actor or whatever. And he got talent spotted for this show called Moonlighting. And it was a,
was he bold then?
No, you should watch it because he was pretty hot then. And then he lost all his hair and did Die Hard. But he, he was in this show called Moonlighting with Cybill Shepherd. And I used to love him in that show. And I used to love that show. And I used to, and then I remember, then he got a big break in movies and did Die Hard. And they used to have, you know, they used to always have lots of off camera fighting. You know, you used to hear there was always all this tension. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So I never thought that show would last many seasons. But it was really cool show. You should watch it. Find Moonlighting if you want to see what Bruce Willis used to look like when he was quite attractive. And then he did Die Hard. But I was going to say that another thing, you guys, if you've got Netflix, Die Hard, there's this thing called Movies That Made Me, a series on Netflix. And it's got a few movies from the 80s that they show, they interview the people who helped make the movies. And one of them is Die Hard. One of the episode that I really liked was Die Hard. They had Dirty Dancing, they had Die Hard, and they had Home Alone. I remember those three. I can't remember if they had any others. But I remember the Die Hard one was really interesting because they were saying, have you seen Die Hard?
Yeah, I've seen Die Hard.
There's this, you know, I don't want to, this is spoiler coming ahead.
But it was, Tower or whatever.
Yeah, well, the spoiler is, you know, Alan Rickman, the late Alan Rickman, who was awesome in Die Hard. Honestly, that movie was so good because of him, not really Bruce Willis. But it was a combination of things. Anyway, Alan Rickman, you know how when he falls at the end?
Yeah.
You know, and he looks really scared. They made him drop. You know, they made him really do it. But onto blue mats, but they made him drop from a height.
Oh,
so
wow.
When he had to do it, he was really, really scared. And then you, they go through. I remember that, and it was so cool. Like they were going on about how the budget and everything, and they talked about how the actual Die Hard movie was a book. This guy adapted a book. I don't know whether he wrote it or whether it was some book he found. And then they changed it when Bruce Willis got attached. And you know, it's interesting to see the genesis of a movie and how it evolves depending on who comes on to be part of the movie. You know, I don't even know how much they changed it all.
Especially if you've got a director from like who's been working on the film for like, you know, 10 years or something, and then they eventually have like a falling out with the production company and then someone else comes on and then it becomes their vision. But then you've got people who stay on the movie for ages, like, going back to one of our early episodes, The Man Who Killed Don Quixote, like, what's the guy's name that directed that again?
Terry Gilliam.
Terry Gilliam. Like, wasn't he trying to make that movie since, like, 2005 or something? Like, he stood with it. Like, he just kept going, you know, and it was one of those things where it ends up being, like, a passion project. And, you know, some people would just be like, you know what, this is too much to deal with, but... You know, some people, like, if they're really passionate about it, they hold on.
So. Well, you know, the interesting thing as well, I think Dirty Dancing was a bit like that too. Like, the Dirty Dancing one is also just interesting from a producing point of view, how difficult it was for them to get a film company to produce it. And, you know, it's real insight if you're interested in the industry, like, how hard it is to actually get a film made. Like, these films take years to get made, you know, just even to get, they call it green lit.
I'm just starting off.
Oh, yes.
I don't want to do it anymore.
tomorrow, Matthew, will I guess.
Sunday.
Soon. Oh, Sunday. So he's going to be making a short film.
Yes.
So we'll have to, you know, keep us, we'll have to talk about it next episode.
Yeah, we'll definitely
how it all went.
Definitely keep you all updated. So, yeah.
But, yeah, so those, I would highly recommend all the things I did recommend that I watched in my childhood. Look for all those shows because you can probably only find them on YouTube. I do know if you're in a, obviously if you're listening from Australia, there's a show called, I mean, there's a channel called NITV, and I've seen them repeat The Mysterious Cities of Gold sometimes on that, the old series, not the one they rebooted. So if
Why
you
does
do
it
get
remind
a chance,
me of The Goonies somehow?
Yeah, because it was about three kids. Gold, yeah. It has the Goonies thing about it. Goonies from the 80s, obviously.
Yeah.
So, yeah, another 80s movie. I just, you know what, another 80s movie that I watched the other day again, it was called Big Trouble in Little China. Have you seen that?
Is that got Kurt
Russell?
Yeah. I've probably seen a bit of it. I vaguely remember it. I remember watching a lot of Kurt Russell when he was coming out. You know, I remember watching Overboard with Goldie Hawn and... What's that? That was so funny. That was so funny. Like, those kids,
very good.
Those kids pissed her off so bad. But yeah, like, there really are some fantastic movies out there. Unfortunately, we can't tell you how to check out all these TV shows because some of them are probably only available on YouTube or someone's dusty VHS.
Yeah, go on YouTube and, you know, look up things I would recommend and, like, you know, you probably won't get to watch it all, but Robotech, I love that. And check out the old Degrassi, you know. Who was the – I'm just trying to find out who the director of – John Carpenter, he directed Big Trouble in Little China. And I remember when did it come out? I should check what year it came out. I remember when it came out, you know, it was always Asians in movie. Oh, 1986, so that was an 80s movie. Asians were few and far between in American movies. So whenever there were Asians, I was always like, I remembered those movies. And that's why I always remembered Short Run as well from the second Indiana Jones, because I was like, oh, look, he's speaking Cantonese. I can understand this. You know. And then they put Short Run in Goonies, and I was like, oh, cool, they kept the Asian kid. That's cool. And then so I thought, you know, I can probably roll off all the Asian representation from my childhood that I saw. And but, yeah, I remembered Short Run.
At least these days you've got, like, the Asian representation in a movie in, like, say, 2020. Yeah, is probably like double the amount you'd have from, like, say 1970s to 1990s. So I mean, like, it's really changing. That's great.
It is. And you know, Big Trouble in Little China, it was so stereotypical. Like, when I watched it now, it was just like, oh my god, this is so 80s, you know. But it's still cool. Like, Kurt Russell is, you know, he's got a lot of charisma. He really, you know, you can. And you know who else was in that movie? Kim Cattrall. Do you know who she is?
No.
She was in Sex and the City. She played Samantha. And she plays such a different sort of character in it. So she's, you know, she's a pretty good actress, like, I think, after, you know, when you see them in such different roles, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so anyway, I'm getting sidetracked. And
yeah.
We've evolved into 80s movies and from childhood. But,
so we'll probably try and do an 80s movies episode so we can let Audrey go ham.
Yeah, and the other segue we might do next time as well is I want to segue to Disney. Because when I was a kid, we never used to have – the Disney movies we used to watch in the cinema were things like Cat from Outer Space and, you know, Go to Witch Mountain, or, you know, like the Parent Trap or something. There were always all these cheesy movies, and or Herbie Goes Bananas or something like that. And then the only time I ever saw all those classic – I only ever saw scenes from those classic Disney movies like Bambi and Snow White and all that on this show called The Wonderful World of Disney, and it was hosted by Walt Disney, and it used to be on every Sunday, I remember. And, you know, it used to be this half-hour show, and you go, oh, you know, welcome back to the show, and, you know, here's a clip from this movie, and wonder what Mickey was up to when he did this. You know, he'd just throw to all these clips from his movies and stuff, right? So it's really, you know, it's a really cheap way to make a show when I think about it. Or he'd plug, oh, look at this new ride we've got at Disneyland. So I always wanted to
he's like
Disneyland.
Promoting everything.
Yeah,
like.
It was just, you know, now you look at it, you think, but I used to always want to watch those movies. You know, for the longest time I wanted to watch Cinderella because I always saw the same scene from Cinderella or the same scene from Sleeping Beauty. And, you know, I always wanted to watch the whole movie. And then when my kids were older and they released all those Disney movies on DVD, I thought, I'm going to watch them finally. And I watched one of them. And I was like, this is terrible. Like, this is a terrible movie. Their voices are awful. Like, Snow White's voice was so awful. And I thought, oh, my God, why on earth did I, you know. And Sleeping Beauty is just like, oh, my God. I mean, it's animated really well, but just the story and the voices and, you know, it's really, it hasn't aged well. And
definitely not.
Except, you know, but Bambi, I only watched a bit of Bambi, but I really like Dumbo was still all right because Dumbo has this sort of druggy period where he takes some alcohol and he starts hallucinating. I thought that was really cool. You know, like, this is really creative. So there are some moments, I think, when all those Disney animators must have been taking some drugs or something with all the long shifts. Well, you know what? Because I've heard, you know, they would work pretty hard, you know, because it's pretty out there, some of the animation.
Oh, man.
In the Disney.
We're going to get sued soon.
No, I think, definitely. You have to watch Dumbo and think that the person who animated that had to be on some sort of drugs.
It was Terry Gilliam.
Anyway, that's a good out, isn't it?
Yeah. So thanks, everyone, for listening. We hope you enjoyed it, as usual. You can find us on Facebook. Our page is X vs Y Podcast. Please subscribe or leave a review if you enjoy this episode. We really love to hear from you. And if you have any movies or TV shows you would like us to discuss, you can message us on there. And you can listen to the podcast on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and others. Thanks so much for coming today, guys. Really love you.
Thanks for listening. And tell us what you used to watch. Audrey got a bit carried away today. I know, I pretty much carried the show, but you know. I think the content was much better in my generation. Although I didn't get to hear about Pokemon. Please don't spend a whole.
Another episode coming up.
We can have a Pokemon episode just because you didn't get to tell me all Woo-hoo. About Pokemon and Dragon Ball.
Maybe an anime show or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's do it.
All right. Thanks so much for coming, guys. See you next time.
See ya. Your light is very near.